Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Dushman Carbogen Amsys Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pascal Hilmange, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Moderator, and good afternoon, dear shareholders. Hope you all well fine before the big day tomorrow. A quick update regarding the business activities for the first quarter of this year, 2024-2025. Globally, we can say that the follow-up of the last quarter of the fiscal year, so we were facing a number of challenges at the very beginning of this quarter, which were the follow-up consequences on things that had happened the quarter before, which were impacted the final result of the quarter. This is the reason why the global results of this particular quarter are not really as expected. However, during this quarter, the good news is obviously that we finally tackled all the issues we were facing, and we have definitely turned the corner. And I'm thinking especially of our new facility of drug product located in France, where we are facing a number of engineering challenges over the startup activities and operational startups. Now, since the middle of the quarter, we have been operated normally, and everything is going as now planned. From a market perspective, if we look at globally, of course, we know that all the macroeconomics KPIs are not really great those days. However, the pharma industry is globally well resisting, and particularly our CDMO CRAMS activities across the globe is still in quite good health. We see some slowdown a bit across Europe with VC funding on several customer places, but globally, U.S. and Japan, China are doing well. So we were having a large number of purchase orders in our global portfolio in drug substance, drug product, or product activities, which give us very high confidence that although the first quarter was a bit disappointing, we were and we will be able to match our targets by the end of the fiscal year, being able to work in a proper way to get those numbers right by the end of the year. As we mentioned a few times, several non-pharma markets are getting also a bit better. I'm thinking about the cosmetic market that we are addressing with both of our facilities located in Europe. The cosmetic market is getting much better than it was after post-COVID. We know that it was suffering a bit, so now that market is also getting better. So that's giving us some large opportunity into our U.K. and Netherlands facility to increase the volumes of production of certain items we do for our customers. All in all, as mentioned, if the quarter was not showing nice numbers from a financial perspective, from an operation perspective, we've done a lot of efforts to tackle and finalize all the issues we were facing. And now we can tell that Now, especially with the new facility, we foresee nice results coming in the next few months. And we have for that facility as well as our Swiss facility a larger product portfolio of orders that we can process in the coming months. So all in all, we are extremely positive and optimistic for the rest of the year results. From a pure organization perspective, we've done reorganizations of our business at Cabergé Nancy site, which is going to help us to have a more accurate and more fine-tuned strategies for different types of business we are having. So now we look at our global activities into three different activities: drug substance, as mentioned, drug products, and specialties, which is our product business. Thanks to that reorganizations, we will leverage more, as I said, accurate strategy for each business segment, enabling us to have better market penetrations and success. So this new organization is now implemented since July 1st, and it's going to give all these fruits through the new year. So we all think that thanks to these organizations, we will be able to leverage our resources and get the best of our capabilities in the Cabergé Nancy branch of the business. I thank you all, and then I now handing over to our global CFO, Mr. Achille Vallat.
Thank you very much, Pascal. Very good afternoon to everybody. Regarding the financial performance of the quarter, starting with the revenue, it was kind of a mixed quarter for the first quarter ending June 30th, 2024. As far as the positive aspect was concerned, the India revenue, after the clearance from the EDQM, the certification that we received in February of this year, after that, we saw an uptick in the India CRAMS revenue, which increased substantially as compared to Q1 of last year. So from 38 crores, it has increased to 82 crores, which is almost 114% increase. And this also translated into a positive EBITDA for the India CRAMS business, which is close to about 14% of EBITDA. On the negative side, there was unfortunately about 9.8 million worth of orders, which according to the customer's requirements had to be deferred to the next quarters as compared to Q1. And this was mainly at Cabergé Nancy, Switzerland, because of which the development revenue as well as the commercial revenue took a hit in Q1. However, all of that revenue should be made up in the remainder part of the year. So it was kind of a mixed reasons as far as the revenues were concerned. Something positive, especially because everybody was looking forward to the India revenue to increase, especially after the EDQM clearance, and that was already reflective in Q1. And we expect that the India revenue should increase substantially over the last full financial year. And the remaining three quarters for the Swiss entity should be very good, as the revenue loss in Q1 for the commercial and development work should be made up in the remaining three quarters. As far as our Dutch entity was concerned, there was a dip in revenue by about 16% as compared to Q1 of last year. And that was largely on account of lower sales of the vitamin D analogs, which is obviously highly profitable for us as compared to the cholesterol business. Unfortunately, in Q1 this year, most of the revenue makeup in Netherlands was because of the cholesterol sales, and especially the cholesterol SF, which is a low margin product for us. And that is the reason the revenue in Netherlands is lower as compared to Q1 of last year. and that obviously had an impact on the margins as well. The good thing is that as far as the key raw material, which is the wool grease, is concerned for our Dutch entity, we have been able to successfully renegotiate the supply agreement with the supplier, the largest supplier that we use for that particular product. And, you know, we should see a decrease in the COGS for that particular business from Q3 of the current financial year. So there has been a significant saving that can be expected because of the renegotiated contract with the supplier. So that's the good news as far as our Dutch entity is concerned. The employee expenses more or less stood at a similar level as it was in Q4. There was nothing exceptional in the other expenses. One of the changes that we have done with, starting from this particular quarter is in relation to the goodwill, which was being written off over a period of 15 years. We have reassessed, or the board has reassessed, the useful life of the goodwill as it stands today. There has already been a significant depreciation which has hit the P&L over the last 9 years, amounting to almost about 750 crores. So what has been decided is that the goodwill as it stands today would be kept on getting tested for impairment at the end of every year, and the useful life, since we have to define one, has been defined now as 99 years. So the amount of amortization of the goodwill hitting the P&L would reduce substantially to roughly about 6 crores per annum as compared to about 45 crores as was being charged to the P&L earlier. And hence, we would see the depreciation and amortization figure going down from this quarter onward. The finance cost was more or less in line with what we had last year, so about 32 crores of finance cost. And we had an exceptional item of about 5 crores. This was on account of write-off of certain inventory, which was deemed to be non-usable for certain projects that we were anticipating in the past. So overall, the current quarter in terms of the, if you consider the factors that have been defined, especially on the revenue side and the impact that it had on the margins, since most of that would be made up in the remaining three quarters of the financial year, and as we have been saying that the right way to look at our business would be more on an annual basis rather than on a quarterly basis, we expect that the current year should be a much better year as compared to the last year. We should be on target to achieve close to about 10% of incremental revenue over the last year, and the operating profit should also be significantly higher than what we had reported last year. So with that, I would like to ask the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Taran Agarwal from Old Bridge Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Harshal. Hi, team. Good afternoon. A couple of questions. So, you know, Pascal, when he opened this floor, he said that, you know, Switzerland might impose some challenges because of the floods, right? And you have maintained that the cramps business of Carbage and Amsys will be able to make up for whatever was lost in Q1. So do you believe that 200 million Swiss franc revenue number, which that business does, that's going to be achievable for FY25 despite the adverse developments in Switzerland?
Yes, definitely, because, you know, although the number, if we look at the Swiss number, the pure development number, we are not as high as we were expecting, but they were not as low as to a point where it's critical. There. So that's definitely something we can work on. And we have specifically one element which is using a dedicated facility. There is just some technical issues that forced us to prolong a bit the project, but we fixed those things. And the fact that we are using a dedicated facility for this means that we are going to make those revenues later on the year without competing on the other revenues. So I'm extremely confident that Switzerland is going to go even beyond 200 million for their activity. This is for sure.
Okay, got it. Second, congrats. It's good to see the Babla side coming back. How should we see the accretion from this business now going forward? Historically, this business was able to deliver 100-120 crores top line. So any guidance, commentary on this for the remaining part of FY25?
Sure. So, Tarang, you know, what we're expecting is that in the current year, we should be closer to about 325 to 350 crores in terms of the revenue coming out of CRAM. So that is what our target is. And the Q1 number is more or less on target. You know, we've just received the clearance in February. So we do expect, and Q4 is historically the strongest quarter for India, so that trend should continue. So overall for the full year, yes, 325, 350 is something that we are targeting, and we should be able to achieve that. What that should also translate into is, you know, as we had also mentioned in our previous call, into an improved profitability for the group as a whole. We are working on several initiatives, including, you know, we are already seeing a traction in terms of the orders that we are receiving from the existing customers. New customer visits are happening, so we are anticipating additional orders coming from new customers. And thirdly, we are also collaborating closely internally between the Swiss side and the Babla side, trying to see, you know, what all projects can be transferred in the short to medium term to the Babla side. So, you know, we don't see any challenges in achieving that kind of number as of now. Obviously, the next year should be even better, should be closer to the 100 crore of run rate that you mentioned, which would equate to close to about 400 crores of CRAM revenue for the India business.
Got it. And the development in the Netherlands business has been particularly striking. You know, while you've been guiding about, you know, compression and margins for almost 8-10 quarters, I was quite surprised with the numbers that have been reported in Q1. So is there anything specific that went off? I mean, was there a kitchen sink of sorts where all the, you know, inventory was cleared out? And
no,
just to understand, you did allude to getting into a revised contract with your vendor. So if you could just elaborate a bit in terms of how that can play out purely from a margin standpoint.
Sure. So in Netherlands, you know, as you already are aware of, you know, there are two broad segments in which the Netherlands business is divided into. One is the cholesterol business and second is the vitamin D analog. Now, if you break down the cholesterol business even further, there is cholesterol NF, there is cholesterol SF, and then there are other derivatives as well. So what we saw in Q1 was that there was high amount of sales of the cholesterol segment and specifically cholesterol SF, which is quite low in margin as compared to the other product segments in Netherlands. And that had an impact on the margins. As we have been saying, and as you correctly said, over the last 8 quarters or so that we are already seeing an increase in the prices of the bull grease, which is the key raw material for manufacturing the cholesterol as well as the vitamin D analog. So We internally took up the challenge to renegotiate the contract with our existing supplier, with the possibility of also finding new suppliers for this particular raw material, because we can't be dependent on this one supplier. So what we have been able to successfully do in the immediate past was to renegotiate this contract with the existing supplier, wherein the prices have been renegotiated by almost 35% as compared to what the earlier contract was. So we would start seeing the impact of these improved prices from Q3 and onwards, because we already have stock which has already been purchased at the higher prices, which will first need to be cleared out, which we are expecting should get cleared out by Q2 of this year. So that's the strategy on Netherlands, where we are trying to improve the prices, I mean the cost of our products, and that will help us in being more competitive as compared to other players. Because now in the vitamin D analog segment, you know, we are seeing a higher amount of competition. So it was quite critical for us to reduce the cost by deploying various measures. So renegotiating this contract was the first step, but we would still keep on looking out for additional suppliers for this particular wool grill. Pascal, do you want to add something more to this?
No, I think you well summarized the situation. It's an obvious effect on the product mix production during this first quarter. The SF grade of cholesterol is a larger volume production, but it's also the lower margin. And when we produce a large amount of SF, it affects directly our profitability over the quarter. But if we look at that from an order perspective, from the annual base, we should be back on track in the coming months, where we are going to manufacture more NF, HP grade of cholesterol into the mix. So I'm not concerned about that. It's really when we look at this first quarter, yet we see that obviously there is an impact on profitability, but we know why. It's a product mix effect. The good news, as you mentioned, is that now we are much more in control of our supply chain, and we have a much better control on our COGS over there, which having two effects. First, on the high-end cholesterol product, we have a better margin, and on the lower end, like SF, we also can be more competitive, and then also increase the volumes by improving slightly the margin. So all in all, it has a positive effect. We are going to see those positive effects along the year, because although we negotiate that over the third quarter, we are still sitting on an amount of product that has been bought at a certain level. So we have to consume this. But then as soon as we finish to consume the existing stock of the more expensive wool grease, then we can go and reach the better margins later on. So all in all, we can only see the positive side of it in the coming weeks with the venom.
Sure. Just last two, what's the net debt as on 30th June 2024? And second, you had guided that the French operations would see a EBITDA burn of anywhere between 4 to 5 million Swiss francs in FY25. Do you stick to that guidance, or do you think it might increase further this year?
Sure. So the net debt was stood at about 164 Swiss francs, 164 million Swiss francs as of 30th of June. As far as the French entity is concerned, yes, I think we should have, based upon the current forecast, the impact on the EBITDA should be about negative 5 million for the current financial year. We had a negative impact of about 2.5 million in Q1. What we are, and you know, the operations have begun from June of this year, where the revenue was about 1.2 million euros for Q1. So what we are expecting is that the revenues will progressively keep on increasing quarter over quarter, And while there would still be a loss in Q2, we would start seeing, a turnaround from Q3 onwards, where we would see the losses coming down substantially. So for the full year, 5 million euros of losses is what we are expecting.
Got it. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Sure. Thanks, Karthik.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is on the line of Venkata Padwala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Can you people hear me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So one question to the management. I could see there are three times changes in the how company treats the goodwill on the books. Okay? So my question to the management is, why not you, I mean, remove entire goodwill from the books so that all the books will be clean and clear, right? Why we are keeping the goodwill on the books?
Sure. Thank you for your question. Unfortunately, that is also an option that we had explored. The only way the goodwill can be written off would by providing for an impairment of that particular goodwill. So now this goodwill, the way what this goodwill consists of are the intangible assets within the company, which includes our brands, patents, technical know-how, as well as the technology that we have in-house. Now, if we write off the whole goodwill, what that would mean is that the value of these intangibles is now zero. And that could again have different implications from a tax perspective as well as other regulatory perspective. So that was the reason, and the way the approval was taken when the merger happened under the court order was that there has to be a defined useful life under which this goodwill can be written off over a period of time. What we have been doing is that every year we have been testing this for impairment at the end of every financial year, where the value of this goodwill is much higher than what the goodwill numbers that in the books. So it is very difficult to justify that now this goodwill is of no use, and hence we have to write off this entire goodwill through the P&L. So one of the options that we also try to see is whether it can be written off against the reserve under the accounting standards, but that was also not a possibility. So what we are saying now is that after write-off of almost 750 crores, now the 600 or 590 crores, which is outstanding on the books, we can keep that for a longer period of time. And the write-off or the hit to the P&L would be a very small amount, which will lead us to what the Ind AS is saying, that you just keep on testing the goodwill for impairment rather than writing off in the P&L.
Yeah, I agree that it may increase the profit a little bit, but still that book value and return on equity and return on net assets, still it will impact these parameters. And many of the market pundits will determine the quality of the stock by using this parameter.
I am with you, but the right way to look at our return ratios would be after discounting the goodwill as well as the impact of the forex on the assets, because most of our assets are located overseas and these assets get restated at the closing exchange rate at the end of every year. So the right way to look at our returns ratios would be after discounting these two parameters. And that would be the right way to determine our returns ratios.
So one more question from the European entity. So what can you able to quantify the percentage of the revenue that they are getting on development and commercial from the Swiss entity?
Yeah, so at the Swiss entity, roughly, if you take a ballpark, roughly about 55 to 60% comes from development work. This has been the historical trend, and about 45% is what comes from commercial. In Q1 of this year, we had development revenue which was close to about 40%, and 60% was contributed by the commercial part.
Yeah, but I see, surprisingly, the material cost is very low. 60 crores only.
Yeah, so the material cost was lower because, you know, some of the commercial projects, you know, that were that were sold in Q1, you know, those were highly profitable, more from a gross margin perspective. But since the development revenue was low, and if you see the biggest fixed cost that we have on the P&L is the employee cost. And most of that employee cost is for the development work that we do. So since the margins on the, you know, if we talk about the EBITDA, which is after the employee cost, from an EBITDA perspective, you know, that got adversely hit because some of the development projects were deferred to the later quarters. So yes, on the commercial side, the margins were good, especially at the gross contribution level. But because of the high employment cost for the development work, the overall EBITDA margin was subdued.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Preet Nagarseth from Wealth Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So could you repeat the change in depreciation, meaning it will... what is the amount that will be replaced by how much? I did not catch the full thing.
So essentially now, you know, we on the on as of 31st of March 24, the goodwill stood at about the goodwill on a standalone books, which effectively goes also into the consolidated books, which is eligible for depreciation, that stood at about 594 crores, which earlier we were writing off over a period of 15 years. On a straight line method basis. So now the useful life has been changed, you know, effectively to perpetuity because, you know, we believe that this value of goodwill will not be impaired in the foreseeable future, especially now that the India business is getting back on track. So what we are now saying is that the goodwill will be written off over a period of 99 years, which would mean that the hit to the P&L would be close to about 6 crores per annum instead of the earlier 45 crores per annum.
Okay, this is effective from quarter one or?
Yes, from effective from 1st of April 2024.
So the quarter one numbers already consider this?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The second question I wanted to understand was regarding your guidances for both top line and your margins. So you mentioned 15 odd percent for top line. Is that what you said?
No, I said about 10% for the top line. The EBITDA growth would be much higher. So, you know, last year, obviously, we had a lot of one-offs, which we are expecting would not happen this year, except for the notional effects, you know, which could be either ways, but we are not considering that. But apart from that, we do expect that the EBITDA margin should be closer to about 18% for the current financial year.
Right. And the other thing I want to understand is that we are hearing a lot about pharmaceutical changes in the global markets and how India could stand a beneficiary. A lot of them are about CDMOs and stuff, but on the CRAM side, do you see any such large tailwind emerging out of those markets?
So, yeah, and obviously I'll ask Pascal also to elaborate on that, but you know, what we are seeing is that, you know, because of the issues with China and, you know, US also thinking of passing an act which might prohibit sourcing of the APIs from the Chinese companies. You know, we are seeing offshoots of certain projects moving to our European entities, as well as, you know, we could see potentially certain projects moving to India as well. So that could be something that, you know, we are already seeing certain effects, but I think it is still not passed in the legislation. I mean, if that happens, then India as well as our European subsidiaries could be high beneficiaries of that particular act. But Pascal, maybe if you can elaborate a bit more on this question.
Yes, definitely. So you're absolutely right by mentioning what happens in US with that particular act. It's not yet fully in force. So we have a lot of customers that are swinging from one position to the other. What is true is we have more and more of, and not only because of this new law, but also the post-COVID situations where people think that it may be a good idea to move things closer to their point of consumption. So that is a global movement to refocus European projects in European facilities. So when we get and we see the benefit of that in our European operations. On the other hand, with China, we see also a clear movement. We'd like to emphasize what the entire group is able to provide with very high and knowledgeable R&D cramps in Europe, and then lower production cost across India, so we can leverage the life cycle of all the products. So we see clearly an attraction from some customers. We are also in an election year in US, and as you can imagine, there is a number of decisions that are pending, and to know whether those kind of constraints are going to come. So we're in close contact. We feel that at the end of the day, there will be a positive impact on our business anyway. So that's for sure.
Right. So I'm going back to the earlier comment you made regarding the overall EBITDA margin profile of 18% for this financial year. Now, for this quarter, I think clearly it was far below that. So mm-hmm. when from which quarter do we anticipate us going back to that run rate?
From Q2.
So you see Q2, one should be back at that 18% run rate.
Yeah, I mean, eventually for the remaining three quarters, we need to be above that in order to achieve the annual target.
Right. I mean, the reason I'm asking is that given that only a month and a half has already completed for this quarter, you would have a good mm-hmm. indication whether quarter two onwards you are looking at that kind of run rate.
Yes. So based upon the first month of Q2, based upon the numbers of first month of Q2, we are pretty confident of achieving that in this quarter.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Volki Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So I am pretty new to the company, so I have some basic questions. So over the years, our margins have declined from 25 to 26% range to currently less than 10%. So I just wanted to understand what factors lead to this situation, and going forward, could we achieve those kind of margins again?
Sure, thank you for your question. So yes, so if you take financial year 2020, we were at roughly around 25-26%, as you correctly mentioned. Obviously, in March of 2020, we had certain observations from the European Health Authority for one of our manufacturing sites in India. And India at that point in FY 2020 was contributing, from a CRAMS perspective, roughly about 400 crores. To the revenue with a healthy EBITDA margin. So now, because of these observations that had been received that impacted the revenues coming out of the Bhabla site in India, and that obviously had a negative impact on the margins as well, because the India site, because of the cost efficiencies that we are able to bring in, make the highest margins for us globally. I'm not sure if you already were there in the previous calls, but we already had a re-inspection from the EDQM in September of 23, and we received the final certification in February of this year, post which, now we are seeing traction as far as the India business is concerned by way of increasing in the orders from existing customers, new customers looking at the India site, and also, us collaborating closely with the Swiss entities. So with the combination of all of this, we do expect that the India business should be back on track. And, the Q1 results were quite enlightening for us. And we do expect that the growth should be visible in the full financial year this year, and it should just keep on increasing going forward. As far as the other entities are concerned, the Swiss entity has been delivering growth year over year, both on the development and the commercial side, and that is something that we expect would continue in the future as well. We obviously had issues in terms of the global inflation because of the Russia-Ukraine war, where the prices of electricity had increased substantially, across all of our European entities, and that had a negative impact on the cost structure. Plus, because of the inflation, the people cost had also increased. So over the last, I would say, 2-3 years, you know, we had this inflationary impact on the cost, and also one of the key raw materials for our Netherlands side, the prices had increased substantially, which now, we have been able to successfully, as I mentioned earlier, renegotiate the contract with our supplier, and we are looking at other sources of that raw material in order to reduce the costs at the site, so that we can go back to the earlier margins that we were making. The third important factor is the French facility, which we inaugurated last year. I would say we should have already started manufacturing from that site at a commercial stage, as well as on the development side right from January of this year. But unfortunately, there were certain technical issues with the manufacturing line, which were discovered only after the trial batches were undertaken and when the commercial batches were tried to be taken from the same line. That led to an increase in the cost that we had to incur in order to make sure that the manufacturing line is able to produce the products at a commercial scale. And that process, after the validation, the OQ as well as the PQ, all of that got completed in May of this year, and it was only from June 2024 that we were able to start producing from the first manufacturing line in France. The second manufacturing line is also ready now, and we expect that it should start generating revenues for us from the next quarter. So that was the third issue that we were facing. You know, now all said and done, you know, we have already cleared the EDQM inspection and post that even the US FDA inspection. We have already taken the measures in order to reduce the costs at the Dutch site. So the efforts are still ongoing to reduce it even further. And thirdly, and the most important point was the French facility, which now is on track in order to deliver the revenues that we are targeting for the current financial year. So this is a journey that we had to go through, the pain that we had to take. But now with the kind of improvements that have been done, especially at the India sites, both at Bhabla and Naroda, and, all of our overseas entities, we do expect that we would be able to reach the 25-26% margin in the next 2-3 years' time.
Yeah, understood. I hope turnaround at the earliest. So my follow-up question with this regard that you said in our Dutch facility, our raw material prices abruptly increased. So can you specify how much raw material prices increased, and do we have any, can we pass on these prices to our final customers, or is it like a fixed contract type of things?
Sure. So if you see historically, the Dutch entity was doing close to about 25-30% kind of EBITDA margin for us, which not taking into account Q1, but if you take the full financial year, we are now at about 16-17%. So there is an impact of I would say close to about 20-25%. Maybe even higher, just on account of the increase in the wool grease prices. What we expect is that these prices should come down in the next quarters. But what that impacts is our competitiveness as far as the vitamin D analogs business is concerned. As far as passing on the costs for the Dutch entity is concerned, it is not possible in in all the products that we sell, because, you know, then there are competitors which have other sources, other raw material sources that they use in order to manufacture the products, the cholesterol as well as the analogs. So it is only selectively that we are able to pass on the cost to our customers. Because, you know, if we try to pass on 100% of the cost, the business might no longer be there, or as far as that particular segment or that particular customer is concerned. So, we are continuously in the process of trying to transfer the cost, but it won't be 100% one-to-one.
Yeah, understood. And with regard to the same facility, so you said that we manufacture cholesterol and vitamin from these facilities. So can you provide a brief breakup of those?
Yeah, sure. So roughly around, so if we talk about this particular quarter, roughly around 60% was contributed by cholesterol, and the rest was contributed by the vitamin D analog. Historically, what we have seen is that the ratio is about 55% vitamin D analogs and about 45% cholesterol. So that is the reason, you know, there is an impact on the margins. But going forward and in the remaining part of the year, you know, we would see a higher sales of vitamin D analogs as compared to cholesterol.
Okay, understood. Thank you for answering the questions. I'll join back the
queue. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Agarwal from RC Wealth Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible. Please go ahead with the question.
Our company is in loss in last 4 years. Is there a possibility to come in profit net level in next 1-2 years?
Yes, so that's the goal. So, you know, as I already explained in the answer to the previous question, the reasons, you know, why the performance was subdued over the last 4 years. So now that all of those issues have been cleared, you know, we don't see a reason why we should not be back in profit in the current year and also in the years going forward. As I also explained earlier, as far as the French entity is concerned, it would still be in loss in the current financial year, but the losses would be lesser than what we had reported in the last financial year. So that will also help us in improving the profitability as compared to the previous year. But yes, I mean, if you see historically prior to these observations that we had received for the India side, we were generating substantial amount of profits, and that is something that that should be possible in a year or two.
Because every con-call you feel you will be in profit, but every time there is one off in every quarter, something, but you are not showing profit in the company.
No, I agree. So one of the reasons, you know, as I also mentioned, was this write-off of goodwill, you know, that was happening every year, which is obviously a non-cash item, but there was a write-off of almost 45 crores to the P&L. Which, you know, now from this quarter onwards, you know, that impact reduces substantially. So that should also help us in reporting positive profit after tax starting the current financial year.
Okay, that's all from myself.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Krishna, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You audible?
Yeah. I have a question regarding the Carbogen AMSIS business. Year over year, we had a, I think, 220 crores loss of revenue. And even if you account for the development project, which is only about 100 crores, what would the remaining 100 crores be the result of?
So, thank you for the question, Sai Krishna. So, are you comparing Q1 this year to Q1 last year?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, the Q1 of last year, you know, it was more of an exceptional quarter, you know, where we had reported 723 crores of revenue. On an average, you know, our revenue is somewhere around 600-650 crores if you look at the trend of the last quarter. But the biggest impact in Q1 of this year, one was the roughly about 100 crores of development and commercial revenue that did not happen at Carbogenamsis Swiss entity, which should happen in the remaining three quarters. So we will make up for that particular revenue. And secondly was the dip in the revenue in Netherlands because of the lower sales of vitamin D analog. So these were the two major reasons why the revenue was lower in Q1 of this year versus Q1 of last year. But we do expect that, you know, all of this revenue should be made up in the remaining three quarters. Because, you know, and that's the reason, as I mentioned earlier, we say that the right way to look at our business would be more from an annual basis rather than on a quarterly basis.
Okay, as a follow-up question, so last year we have done about, I think, 2,600 crores of revenue. And this year you have guided for a 10% growth, so that's about 260 crores. And I think of the 260 crores, I think about 130 or so crores is coming from the Babla side, the increase in the revenue from the Babla side. So the rest of the business is basically, I think, showing only a mid-single-digit growth. So do you expect any of your other, you know, business segments to register a degrowth, or it's going to be a, you know, mid-single-digit growth across the other segments?
Well, for the rest of the businesses, you know, right now we have assumed a single-digit growth, but you know, it could be higher depending upon how the Q2 and Q3 goes. So there could be potentially an upside over there. But on a conservative basis, you know, we do expect that you know, it would be a single-digit growth for the rest of the businesses.
Okay, and just last question on the cholesterol and the vitamin D analogs business. This quarter we had, you know, I think like mid-single-digit EBITDA. So on a full-year basis, are you expecting to maintain the EBITDA margin as that of last year?
Yeah, it should be at least that much.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subro, Indivision Investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is relating to your dollar franc translation loss, which gets reported almost every quarter. This quarter there has been a gain because there was not much volatility. But starting July, for the last 2 months, there has been a substantial change. So do you expect some losses, translation losses this quarter as well?
That's a good question. You know, it depends upon how the exchange rate closes at the end of 30th of September. We have already hedged part of our cash position. So from a cash perspective, we don't expect there should be any kind of a loss in the current quarter. As far as the notional FX thing is concerned, you know, that all depends upon how the closing exchange rate comes out to be. Because, you know, it won't be just the dollar Swiss franc conversion, but then also the Swiss franc to the INR, because our reporting currency is going to be in INR. The good thing is that, you know, like if you remember Q3 of last year, we had a huge amount of dollar balance sitting on our account, which was close to about 120 million, and because of which there was a huge impact in terms of the notional FX. You know, what we have tried to do with many of our customers is to renegotiate our contracts in Swiss francs, which means that the balance sitting on the US dollar account is not much. At max, it might be 20, 30 million. So, you know, even if there is an FX impact, that it should not be as substantial what we have seen in the past.
Okay, but just a follow-up to that, most of our operating assets are sitting outside of India and Europe. And Donald Trump has been openly speaking about a weaker dollar policy. So going forward, if that happens, so would you think that your Swiss operations will become even more uncompetitive? Because a weaker dollar would mean that our expenses will be higher, but our revenues won't go up so much.
Yeah, so Subro, you know, that goes back to what I mentioned, that in many of the customers, you know, what we have done is that we have renegotiated our contracts in Swiss franc itself. because you know most of our costs are in Swiss francs. So to the extent that we can have a matching against the cost in terms of the revenue, we are trying to do that to the extent possible. And then whatever exposure is open in terms of the revenue, you know, that is something that we are hedging. So that's a prudent hedging policy that we have, that we would keep on hedging on a rolling basis as far as our revenue is concerned. But if on the bank account, if there is dollar balance, you know, against which we have the dollar payments, you know, to that extent, there could be a notional impact. But apart from that, we do not expect any substantial impact as far as the P&L is concerned.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for answering my questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from UK Capital. You may proceed, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So I have a question with regard to our facility. So currently we have somewhere around 7 sites, manufacturing sites. So can you provide a brief breakup of how much revenue from each site do we generate?
Sure. So, Pradeep, basically the sites would be multiple. So like for example, in India itself, we have two manufacturing sites, Babla and Naroda. Similarly, in Switzerland, we have 4 manufacturing sites. Then we have one in France, one in UK, one in Shanghai, and one in Netherlands. So, you know, we can provide like a subsidiary-wise breakup of the revenue, which I think we are, so we are reporting the segment-wise revenue in our presentation, which includes the CRAMS revenue coming out of Cargojan Amstel, which includes the Swiss site, the Manchester site, the Shanghai site, as well as right now even the France site is part of it. So the substantial revenue, you know, roughly about 90% of what you see as CRAMS under Cargojan Amstel is contributed by the Swiss entity. The Shanghai entity is an extended, so to say, a supply chain of the Swiss entity, where all of the manufacturing done at the Shanghai entity feeds into the Swiss entity. Manchester, roughly about 40% is sold directly to the customers, and the rest again goes to the Swiss entity, which then onwards gets invoiced to the customer. And the French entity has just started operations where the revenue was about 1.2 million. The cholesterol and vitamin D analogs, that specifically are a Netherlands entity, so that is the revenue done by the Netherlands entity. The Dikal India NC APIs and intermediates, that's essentially nothing but our Babla site in India. And the cost generates in Dikal India is basically the Naroda site. So this is the breakup of the revenue.
Yes. Okay, so you have provided the margins also, so right? Okay.
Yes.
And yeah. So what is the revenue potential from our all the facilities? So, can you provide a overall perspective of how much revenue can we generate from our current asset base?
Overall, so right now, you know, if you see across the group, the underutilized capacity is in India, because in India, you know, we have done significant improvements over the last 4 years while we were under the clout of the EDQM. So now with the changes that have been made between the Babla and the Naroda site, including the operational excellence that has been brought in, both sites put together can do a revenue on the existing asset base of close to about 1,000 crores. So that is the potential as far as the India sites are concerned. As far as the Swiss entity is concerned, it can potentially, I mean, currently it is running at roughly about 85% in terms of the capacity. So, you know, it can go a bit higher to maybe around 90 to 95%. The Dutch entity operates at roughly about 65 to 70%. So we could potentially increase the revenue over there. Shanghai is operating at roughly about 70%, and the Manchester entity is roughly about 80%. So, so this is more or less the capacity utilization at different entities.
Yeah, what I can understand is we are operating at close to 80 or 70% of utilization.
And respect to our asset turnover, it is quite low. It is less than half right now. So what explains such kind of lower asset turn?
Essentially, the lower asset turn that you see is largely on account of the India side. So if you see the India side, like for example, last year did a total revenue of say about 250 crores on the CRAM side, versus the asset base, based upon the current asset base, it can do, you know, roughly about 800 crores. You know, the total asset base is about 800 crores for the CRAMS business. So now as the, since we have already received the clearances from the regulatory authorities, we do expect a significant ramp up in the revenues coming out of the India sites, and that should help us in improving the asset turn, especially out of India. As far as our overseas locations are concerned, I think the ideal or the maximum asset turn that we can achieve would be close to about 0.8, even if we try maybe 0.9, because of the higher cost base of the assets over there. And most of the work that is being done, especially out of the Swiss entities on the development side, you know, the development infrastructure is also quite costly. So, and, you know, if you compare with any of the larger European players who are into the CDMO space, you will find a similar kind of asset turn. Plus, the other factor to be considered is our French facility, where the asset has just been created, worth about 50 million euros, and the revenue has just started from June of this year. So that's a completely unutilized asset that we have right now, where, you know, we can aim for an asset turn of close to about 1:1. So there are a lot of, you know, capacities that we have across the group where there is a potential to increase the revenue. And hence, from a CapEx perspective, we don't expect any significant growth CapEx to be invested. Majorly, it could be on the maintenance side as well as on the compliance side that we have to make sure that we are always GMP compliant in terms of the assets that we have. You know, essentially our annual spend on the CapEx on the maintenance side is roughly about 17 to 18 million, and that is something that we will have to keep on incurring going into the future.
Yes, sir, I understood. So you are saying that like our kind of business generally generates 0.8 to 0.9 kinds of asset turn, and our current asset base is close to 7,000 crores. So is it fair to assume that we can generate at our current asset base close to 5,000 kind of turnover?
No, I think the 7,000 crores that you are mentioning also includes the value of the goodwill, which is obviously not our tangible asset. So as far as our tangible assets are concerned, that would be close to about 2,400 crores. So on a net basis after depreciation. So on a gross basis, you know, that would be close to about 3,500 crores.
We have close to 4,000 crore of intangibles. So what does it contain? In earlier questions, you mentioned that we have around 750 crore of intangibles or 550 crore of intangibles. So
yeah.
I just wanted to understand that.
So basically, you know, the intangibles are broken down into two parts. One is the intangibles that we have on the India balance sheet, which is, you know, the outstanding amount of which is roughly about 594 crores. The second is the goodwill or the intangible assets that's visible on a consolidated basis. So this goodwill that we see on a consolidated basis, this is on account of consolidation of all of our subsidiaries and the parent for the reporting purposes at a group level. So since we have from the parent perspective, there are investments in the subsidiaries, which got revalued in 2017. Whatever is the incremental value of the investment in the subsidiaries, that is what goes as part of the goodwill on consolidation. So that is all intangible. That is all asset not to be used for manufacturing purposes. So the core assets for manufacturing purposes are to the tune of about 3,400 crores.
Okay, thank you for answering all the questions. Thank you. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Pascal Vilmange for closing comments. Mr. Pascal, we are unable to hear you.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, moderator. Dear shareholders, thank you very much for your time to attend to our call today. I hope that you have got all the answer to your questions, and we are looking for a meeting with you over the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
On behalf of Digimon Carbogen MCS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.